You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content. Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. You're here for Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and I'm going to be distracted because I've got to fix my Instagram. I just got the biggest golden nugget ever from today's guest, Michelle Berman-Michael. She's the queen of Instagram, and she's here to drop things you can actually do. So whether you are just a normal person who has this desire for likes and comments, or you're an entrepreneur who needs to get your Instagram game up five notches, tune in, take notes, and I'll see you on the other side. All right. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And okay. I'd love for you to tell my viewers and my listeners who you are, a little bit about what you're doing in the great space and how you landed on crazy shit in real estate.
I love it. I actually was petrified to DM you about this situation.
Okay.
Kyle Draper and I are like very, very good friends. And I had sushi with him one night and I was like, Kyle, I'm going to ask Lee. He goes, oh, I already did. I was like, oh, you butthead. I thought we were going to do it together. And then he had already done it. So I gave him a hard time for that. But then he texted me, oh gosh, maybe like 2 or 3 days before I messaged you, just saying like, hey, I'd love to be on your show. And he was like, have you messaged her yet? And then every day for the next 3 days, have you messaged her yet? Have you messaged her yet? I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to do it.
So basically, Coach Kyle is your very persistent and pesky accountability partner.
Yes, absolutely. We spoke together in Cincinnati for a big real estate brokerage, Pivot Realty. And I'll never forget this, but like the announcer said, Michelle and Kyle, like the married couple of Facebook and Instagram. So like we were like husband and wife of like the Facebook Instagram world. And Kyle always says if he never has to say Instagram or coach anything about Instagram ever again, he'd be super happy. And then vice versa. Like if I never had to say the word Facebook, we'd be great. So
I'm with you. I mean, I know they have the same ownership, but I find Instagram to be a happy place and I find Facebook to be a little less so.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think a lot of people are moving in that direction because there seems to be less censorship on Instagram. I mean, there's some, but it's not nearly as aggressive as it is on Facebook. But people don't seem to type in all caps as frequently on Instagram as on Facebook.
No. And the thing with me for Facebook, at least, is it feels so oversaturated because people are petrified of like making the jump, right? Because they're like, oh, my people aren't there. And it's the same conversation. And I'm like, actually, that's where your people are trying to figure out how to go. So if you're not there, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but I just get like so worked up about it because I was like, you're totally missing the entire point. And my fun story that I'll tell when we go live on this is a guy from Dayton, Ohio, who DM'd me on Instagram, mind you, not even via email, saying he doesn't need Instagram because there's not a lot of people in Dayton, Ohio using it to like buy or sell houses. And I was like,
what did you do? Did you like pull up hashtag buy a home Dayton and show him people using that hashtag? Because
yeah, I looked up hashtag Dayton Realtor. And there was like, at the time, it was like 50,000 posts within that hashtag. And I was like, sir, you're mistaken.
Well, you know, my daughter does like to tell people that it's middle-aged moms who have already ruined Instagram, which is your proof that the platform is in relevancy mode right now, even though some people, I mean, let's be honest, they're just allergic to learning something else right now because they're on overload and they're overwhelmed. And I get it. But I mean, Dayton is on Instagram. Every town has at least some presence on Instagram. So how could somebody search for their town on there?
Just look up that. And I actually have a tip for you because I did some stalking on your reels and don't let me forget about that.
We're already recording. Go ahead and tell me what do I need to do better because I'm ready to get better.
Yeah. So your reels are phenomenal. And I tell everybody about your cooking ones and all of that stuff because everyone tells me, oh, my food is boring. Like, I don't need to post about my food. And I was like, actually, if you're like Lee Brown, you can make your food really sexy. So go look at hers.
Sexy is what I'd use, but interesting. I could be called interesting. Sexy is not usually used about any of this.
But I love it. Like, cause to me, people have this like business is supposed to be so professional all the time. And I'm like, we're not that way, like in real life, but your reels.
I'm going to implement your tip right now. This is, by the way, friends, this is how you get better. When you run into a professional like Michelle, you do what you're told. So what's my tip?
Yeah. So when it comes to reels, when you post your reel, which I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, you record it and then post it like as you're doing it, right? In most cases.
Yeah. Sometimes the only one that I plan in advance is my market in a minute, because I want to make sure that I get all the zip codes and all that stuff right. And it lands on a specific day and time, because I've heard that that improves my search in the algorithms. Is that correct?
Yeah. So your audience is custom to you, right? So every day of the week, it will tell you your Instagram app and the insights tab will actually tell you when the best time is for you to post. Not,
no, that's up here. These little hamburger menu. That's what we call the three lines. That's a hamburger.
Yep.
And there's this little button says insights. I bet y'all didn't know that was there till Michelle told you. What? Look, there's your secrets. Yeah, okay. So carry on.
Okay. So here's the thing I was going to say in conjunction with that. So one, make sure you're posting at high time. Number two, as soon as your reel goes live. So as soon as you hit publish, your first 10 minutes after you do that needs to be done engaging on other reels. Not other posts, other reels based off of the audience you're trying to attract to that reel. So here's an example. Like, let's say you use, or I posted a reel about pregnancy and like how I was laughing at my husband because he was making fun of my hormones, right? And I used a bunch of hashtags about that because the audience was for other moms. So as soon as I hit post, I clicked on hashtag realtor mom, which is one of the hashtags I used in my reel. And when you click on realtor mom up in the top right-hand corner, I think, or no, left, excuse me, I'm backwards. Top left, you'll see the reel that's a part of that hashtag, and then just swipe through. So engage on that first reel, swipe up, engage on the next reel, just keep going for 10 minutes. And what will happen is your reel itself will explode.
Are you for real?
For real. We've tested it 100 times.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So what happens if I forget to do it and it's minute 11? Have I missed my window?
No, obviously it's better to do it than to not do it. But if you look at some of your reels, like it's honestly a disservice to some of them because they're so good that they're just not getting in front of enough people. But it's because Instagram wants to see that you're really, really active at the time of.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So one of my reels went flying around and was at like 60,000 views and I couldn't figure it out. But I had fiddled around with those hashtags a lot before I posted it and I kept fiddling with them. Is that why it ran and I didn't realize it?
Yeah, because you were probably engaging heavily after you posted it without even knowing that that's what you were doing.
Smack myself in the face. We should have had this podcast episode a long time ago, sister. Oh my gracious.
Yeah, it's test it. Even for 10 minutes, force yourself no matter what. As soon as I post 10 minutes, I'm engaging on nothing but other reels related to the hashtags that I used on that reel. And it will explode every time.
Okay. So everybody pause this episode. Go check your reels, go click your hashtag, and then go look at the search thing and then come back. And by the way, if you're not a realtor, spoiler alert, this is an Instagram tip, not just for real estate people. And when she said DMs before, if you are a medium or medium plus listener or viewer, hey, older friends, that's a direct message. And so just so you know, the young people like to say, slide into my DMs, which I think is the creepiest phrase ever invented. But I wanted y'all to know what we're talking about here. Okay. So that's, oh my gosh, that's like going to change my world here. And it's going to actually feed that really negative dopamine problem we all have with needing more likes and comments on our social posts. So you're a professional in this world. How do you stop being obsessed with your metrics on a post and stay focused on good content instead? Do you have any like mindset insights for us on that? Because it bothers me a little. I don't want to worry about the metrics as much as I want to make sure I have good content. But what's the secret?
Girl, I'm with you because I've been doing this for 7 years and I still have that feeling sometimes where I'm just like, dang, like my content is better than that person. What the heck? When I get a little sad, I'm just like, what the heck?
Where are my people?
Yeah. But what I will tell you is vanity metrics will be the death of anyone who wants to use social media to actually generate business, specifically Instagram for this conversation.
Vanity metric, define that for me.
Vanity metrics would be number of followers you have, how many likes you are getting, how many saves and shares and stuff that you're getting. People get so incredibly attached to those numbers. And the other big one, I think website clicks, who's clicking my contact button, some of those other numbers that we study heavily. The ones in particular that I call vanity specific metrics are your follower count and how many likes you get. Because in no way, shape or form, this is going to sound terrible, but in no way does that reflect how good your content is because you could have paid for that. Right.
Yeah. And that's why in your message request, you get those creepy messages. Hey, I can get you to 30,000 or 50,000 followers. Yeah, don't give money to creepy people in your messages. Can we just all agree on that right now?
Yeah. And especially like if you're getting a message and they're like, hey, for $20, I'll get you 5,000 new followers. Yeah. I actually fired a client who did that because we have private clients that pay us to do everything for them. And it's in their document, VIP client agreement, like you will not purchase followers or likes. And she spent, I don't know, $97 to get to 10,000 followers because she wanted the swipe up in her stories. And mind you, this woman had generated a crap ton of business already since working with us off of Instagram specifically. She happened to be a loan officer. And I emailed her afterwards and I was like, I cannot continue to work with you if that's what you're focused on, because you should be looking at how much money you've made off the platform, how many new relationships you've made off the platform, not the fact that you have 10,000 followers so you can do a swipe up link. I mean, hell, I don't even have 7,000 followers and my company grossed just over 7 figures last year. So like, you don't need 10,000 followers to be doing a lot of business. And that's just a big pet peeve of mine, because vanity metrics are designed to destroy your mental psyche, not actually bring you business.
Okay. So, did y'all hear that? Please go grab up all the teenagers in your house, bring them back and backspace 30 seconds so they can hear this from an Instagram professional. That's not a measure of quality of anything. So you've got to stop. It's so unhealthy. I'm so glad you said that. So say it one more time for the people in the back.
Say louder for the people in the back. You do not need to worry about followers or likes, because at the end of the day, your content is going to speak to the right person if it's the right content, and they will come to you and hopefully you can generate a lead off of it if that content speaks to them directly, regardless of how many likes. I mean, I posted something just the other day that got like 15 likes and I was like, what the heck? That was awesome. And then I posted a picture of my newborn son and of course it was crazy, which, you know, that's the other thing about our content, right? Is everyone's so worried about, I post valuable content and it never gets as many likes or as many comments as like the picture of my dog. And that will always be the case. So when it comes to the mental side of things, we have to let go of this attachment to like, well, why, I guess I should just keep posting pictures of my dog because everybody just cares about that more. And instead think about it as they liked that picture of my dog, or in this case, they liked the picture of my newborn son, but that doesn't mean that they didn't see the picture before of the valuable information that was on my feed. It just means that they didn't double tap it, but it doesn't mean that they didn't subliminally see it.
So what is the best mix, do you think, of the baby's dogs fun post versus the I actually have something to say post? Is it like an 80-20 rule? Is it 50-50? What would you be your, and obviously you probably customize this for your clients, but ish, what would you say that is a good rule of thumb?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you guys the golden nugget here. You should have 4 pieces of content, 4 pillars. And a great friend of mine, Kyle Draper, and I, we talk about the 4 pillars very similarly. Just his is more Facebook geared and mine's more Instagram geared. But for Instagram specifically, your 4 pillars Number one is lifestyle content. So that is dogs, babies, I'm getting coffee, I'm going shopping at Lululemon and spending all my money, whatever you want to post there, right?
Marshalls. We go to Marshalls to get our stuff because we're cheap on this from this show.
Yeah. Hey, I get 30% off extra at Lululemon thanks to my husband.
Oh, so I thought you were going to say at Marshalls. I'd be like, that's practically free.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So lifestyle content is the fun one, right? This is where we get to just be ourselves and let people into what makes Michelle, Michelle, what makes Lili, and really allowing people to feel connected to us. And then your three pillar pieces of business content break down into value series, which is what I would call your realtor tips, your homeowner information, the types of things that people like to do, like your market update, those types of things. But the key is to do it in a way that actually solves a problem versus here's the five steps to the home buying process that nobody gives a crap about. So yeah,
major. Boring.
For sure. Absolutely. So value series is one for those people who follow me at all. You know, it's my bread and butter. It's something that I really, really spend a ton of time on helping people really dial that in so that you're not posting that boring crap. The second type of, or I should say the third pillar piece of content is your listing content. Listing as an agent is really not allowed to not do. Like if you're not posting listings and you're not posting under contracts and you're not posting open houses, like nobody's going to know that you're an agent, right? However, you have to do it in a way that really allows it to come across, not in the way that it does currently. Because I can tell you, I see so many agents, it's like listing, 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 listing. And the only thing anyone is thinking when they see your content is that you make a lot of money because you're selling a lot of houses.
Or that it's boring because you got nothing else to talk about. But I got to add a little asterisk on that one, friends. If you're a realtor watching this episode, listening to this, and your feed is full of listings and under contracts, you have to curate that feed because once those properties sell, the under contract post needs to go. And if it's available and sold, that needs to be updated because you have an obligation to provide an accurate picture of your information to the public. So if you have ADD or you have a complete lack of organization and you won't go back and fix your timeline, put them in stories so that stories will archive it. And that way you're not going to be busted for old information. Just make sure you're clicking that save button on story every day so that there's a record of what you've done. So there's your legalese liability piece for real estate. Carry on with this last most important pillar.
Yep. I love that you just said that. You took it right out of my brain. So thank you. And then the last pillar is testimonial content, but I do not want people posting regular, boring testimonials. So people post on Zillow and people like to just screenshot that and post it. I do see people put or create fun templates, if you will, for them. But the thing with testimonials that I really, really want everyone to hear me say is nobody's going to read your 3 to 5 sentences off a screen as well as they would watch a video, right? So I'm a big, heavy video person. And the biggest thing you can do is make it fun, right? Make a reel out of that client. Showcase the house that they bought. Showcase them walking into closing, doing a boomerang. And you can smorgasbord all of that together into a really fun reel. And then at the end of it, get like a 10-second clip of your client saying how awesome you are and post that as a testimonial. Now, to answer your question, originally the 80-20, 50-50, here's how it breaks down. So you have a total of 30 pieces of content per month. 15 of those should be lifestyle content. So that's 50% should be who is Michelle, who is Lee, what makes us us. The other 15 are broken down across those three other pillars. So you have a total of 5 listing days in your calendar. You have a total of 5 value series days and a total of 5 testimonial days. So anyone who wants to make the excuse of, I don't know what I'm supposed to be posting, I'm not on board with that.
Stop it.
Yes. Smack.
So. Okay. So I'm totally going to have to probably hire you to fix all my stuff because I just randomly do stuff by the seat of my pants like many realtors do. So before we let you tell them how they can get a hold of you and stuff, you get to work with a lot of realtors and you may have come to the show with your own special crazy story and you're totally welcome to do that. But I was really kind of hoping in my heart of hearts that you might have a story about some terrible online behavior by real estate related people that made your cringe factor go to 11.
Yes, I have 2. Number one, though, is a story about a not client. He should be a client who actually reached out to me on Instagram from Dayton, Ohio. And I never met the guy, never spoken to him before. I assume he had heard me somewhere on a podcast or something. And he reached out to me about a blueprint download that I had that was a link in my bio. We go back and forth. I ultimately ask him, I say, are you interested in purchasing my course? Because I think that based off everything you're telling me, it sounds like you do really, really well. His response, oh, I don't need your course because nobody in Dayton, Ohio uses Instagram. I about died. I was like, I screenshotted, I sent it to everybody I know, like in the world of Instagram specific stuff. I sent it to my two assistants. I was cracking up. I could not believe that somebody like was just so close-minded. And when I screenshotted the hashtag Dayton Realtor and sent it to him, there was well over 50,000 uses under that hashtag just to show him that realtors are using Instagram in Dayton, Ohio. Whether he wants to or not, that's up to him. But I just couldn't believe it.
Well, look, that's like content creation came your way right there, because what he gave you could be one of your value add posts and your four pillars. But of course, a kind person would black out the name and the photo so that you don't throw somebody under the bus. They can call themselves out, but not you. So remember, friends, if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. But don't ever think that your market is so special that the ideas won't work where you are. We see this all the time in real estate training. Oh, that doesn't work where I am. You're in Concord. The ideas generally work. Generally, you might have to make some tweaks to your market. That's good, because that means you're doing hyper local content. But come on, people, get out of judgment and into curiosity. Otherwise, you're going to get made fun of publicly by a social media star, and that's not what you want in life. So, what was the other thing you wanted to tell us about?
Yeah. So, my other pain nail on a chalkboard, I just can't, is when people post screenshots of like list reports of a house. I don't know if you guys use list reports or if you guys use something else, but it's literally like the picture of the house, but it's like the document that you would send somebody to go do a showing where it will show like all the stuff in the neighborhood nearby, and it has your picture and your information at the bottom of it. It's basically meant to be printed, right? So a lot of the times.
But static content.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way I want people to think about it is it's the difference between something that should have been printed and handed to somebody versus something that's easily consumable on social media. Now, when you think of as an agent, right, you think of, oh, my title rep supplies me with all these awesome handouts and all these awesome documents that I can use and give to my clients. That is not content, meaning don't take a screenshot of the PDF via email and then post it on Instagram. Use that as a tool to curate, to use your phrase, Lee, content that matches your brand and who you are. But by posting screenshots, you're actually just telling your audience that you're super lazy and not willing to create content that is specific to them.
Oh, somebody got their toes stepped on when you just called them lazy, but she's right. And by the way, and Michelle would back me up on this, all of the social platforms favor content where if you are posting the image or the picture, you've added your own words, your own spin to the caption. So if you post and go with no comment, you're dead to these platforms. But if you take that content, maybe you are slightly lazy, but you're also not creative. That's just not your wheelhouse. Non-creative people can take the image and still write something that says, here's what I learned from this graphic. Here's what stood out to me. And then use your little highlighter, make a circle, Shazam. You just took that static content and brought it to life. You guys are overthinking this a little much sometimes.
One more step forward on that, right? Let's say you get a document that has the five steps to the homeowner's process or the five things to winterize your home, whatever it is, right? We see all kinds of things, or like the homeowner checklist for July in the middle of the summer, get your AC fixed at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? If you use Canva, which everyone needs to know about Canva, then break
it's those- free.
Yeah. Or free. If you want the pro, it's $12 a month, guys. Come on. But use Canva and create a template that has your branding, your colors, and all of that. And I could go on a whole tangent about coloring and maybe for another show, but make a template.
That's why your timeline looks like this. Y'all see how pretty it is? It's all planned, laid out. She's got templates she's using to keep her fonts consistent and make it look good. Yep. Canva can do that. And the money 100%. Is less than y'all spend on buying leads from websites that hate you. So.
Or your Starbucks coffee that you stop on the way every morning to go get.
Tastes burned. Just drink gas station coffee. I mean, the Circle K now grinds your cup fresh. You may as well drink Circle K.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper too, if you ask me. But use Canva, right? So I don't care if you don't have a creative bone in your body. Canva has 5,000 templates for Instagram that are perfect and awesome. And all you have to do is change the color. And if you're not sure how to do that, YouTube it. Canva 101. But create templates and then put bullet point number one off that flyer you got on template number one and post that one, number one, as its own individual post. And then post number two as its own individual post, like a week later, and space that content out, because that will allow people to feel like you're actually an expert at what you're offering to your audience versus, I don't know what to post, I'm just going to throw this up there.
Because perception is reality, friends. And that's what social can do, is help people see your depth, but also trust what you're putting out there. And all of these things do add up, but at the core of it is you. So if you need help getting the you into your social media and you need some professional guidance, Michelle, how can they reach out to you and find out more about your coaching offerings and plans?
Yeah. So the very first fastest way to get me is definitely Instagram. Sadly, I spend my life on that, even as a brand new mom. I think I spend more time learning about all of the mom things now than I did ever before. But Instagram's the easiest, Burma Media Social, if you want to get me there. The second fastest way is just to email me, Michelle@BurmaMediaPD.com. But the link in my bio on Instagram is going to take you guys to my freebie. So the three big mistakes that you're currently making and the five ways to fix them. And it was curated specifically for realtors and loan officers, which is my sole audience mostly. We do get clients that come from random markets or random different industries, but it's fun regardless. So those are the three main things I would tell anybody to do. We do have a full course. We have two different kinds of coaching. And then we also do have a do-it-all for you program as well.
So at least go get the free stuff, people. I mean, don't make this any harder than it has to be. And by the way, Michelle's husband is an amazing person who serves this country through the military. So tell your husband, we appreciate him being willing to put himself in harm's way. And as a mom, welcome to the fun club of not sleeping and having people grow up on you and basically watching your heart walk around outside your body. So enjoy the heck out of it. And mostly thank you for coming on the show and giving us some really great action items that we can all put into place. Like, I'm literally going to turn off this video and go search all my reels out and make hashtags float into the nether, because I'm all excited now. And I appreciate you for being somebody willing to share. And I'm so glad to see you in person.
I know, me too. I feel like I already knew you, but it just feels even better now. So thank you for just being who you are. And again, next time you do your reel, screenshot that insight and send it to me. Tell me how it does. I'd love to hear, but I'm excited.
I'm on it because I love accountability too, just like old Coach Kyle. And by the way, the episode that Michelle mentioned earlier with Kyle Draper talking about the Facebooks will be in her show notes as well, so you guys can cross-pollinate. But frankly, if you were glad to have some good content, you owe me 5 stars and a happy comment. Most importantly, share this with another entrepreneur who needs a little bit of help and guidance on the social media networks. And then tune back in next time, because we're going to keep trying to find you crazy angles on real estate. And that's why I'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown or tweet me @LeeBrown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.